Welcome to another episode of my podcast, Sincerely Jada, a podcast hosted by yours truly, Jada Amoy. And if this is your very first episode, this podcast is dedicated to learning and unlearning. So today's episode, I have one of my friends joining me. So we're going to be discussing our kind of story about becoming friends because I moved to Ottawa. This is my first friend that I met. So thought it would be a good idea to talk about building community, unspoken friendship rules, and basically all things friendship. So thank you so much for being on my podcast. And maybe you can start off by just introducing yourself and telling us a bit about you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Jada. My name is Imani, and Jada's actually one of the first friends that I made in Ottawa as well. We've never really unpacked like our friendship story together, although I do feel it's a very unique and interesting story. So I'm excited to share with everyone today and also just like have a little girl chat and just relive how we met.
But first, I thought we'd start off light. I don't know if you're one of the Twitter girlies, but I definitely am. And recently, I've been seeing a few tweets from a few women in particular who've been talking about the concept of having different friends for different things. So essentially, the argument of the people who made the thread was you oftentimes put certain friends into a box by excluding them from certain moments in your life or only coming to them for things that you assume they'll be interested in or things that you feel they would be beneficial for. So for example, you might have two different friends, one who is really creative and the other who has more so a business mind. And you're assuming that for every instance where you need that business advice or you need financial advice, you can only go to the business friend, right? But when it comes to more lighthearted topics or, you know, different things you're doing in your life, whether it be the concert that you're going to or just a fun time that you're having, you're not really inviting that business friend. You're not bringing them in onto those moments and vice versa. So your creative friend, you're just kind of assuming that when you have that business launch, when you're planning for your business, whatever you're doing, you don't really consult them or bring them in or assume that they might have any valid things to offer because you're essentially putting your friends in their own lane and saying this person is for this, this person is for that. So what are your thoughts on this? Do you feel like it's fine having different friends for different things?
I feel like this is might be like a controversial opinion that I have, but I can definitely see like on the friends side of things, how this might not feel really good, like being that friend that's only hit up just to go to the club or like being that friend that somebody only hits up like when they need someone to edit their resume. But I feel like it's part of like building community, having friends that you feel like are both, you know, people that you can talk to and relate to, but also having friends that you feel like are resourceful. Me personally, I feel like all of my friends I can do just about any activity with, but there are definitely certain friends that I would opt to do certain activities with. And it's not that I am leaving out my other friends, but it's just that, you know, maybe this friend might enjoy this activity a little bit more than like that one particular friend. And I think that's completely fine.
I don't know. I feel like I understand both perspectives because like they say, for example, for vacations, like you're not going to go on vacation with everybody. There's specific friends for that setting. I think nowadays people sometimes have friends specifically that they go to for advice and for that type of stuff. And I don't know. I think when you're that friend, it can become very difficult to really enjoy the friendship because you're kind of left out of the fun when you think about it. I feel like that's kind of weird having a niche friend, a friend who has a niche that they can essentially fulfill, and then having another friend who has another niche. Like, I feel like you should overall try and include your friends in as many things as possible, unless, of course, they just are not interested into something.
Yeah, I completely understand your perspective, and I 100% agree. Just to kind of like paint a picture, I am that friend that like, don't invite me to the club. I am not like your club friend. Yes, I will go if you invite me and like you really, really want to go. But I'm probably not the first person my friends will reach out to if like it's a club activity. And I like personally have no issues with that. In your friendship group, there might be certain friends that like they have that sort of perspective. Maybe there's activities that they don't enjoy and they could care less if you ask them to do it with you or not, you know? So there's also like that side of things where it's like maybe they're the friend that you know, you can go on trips with and they like to travel and that sort of thing, but maybe you don't have a shared interest when it comes to doing physical activities, that sort of thing. So
That's true. I see both perspectives. I feel like it only really becomes problematic when you have friends that you specifically go to for help only, but you never really bring them in on like the fun times or like the big moments in your life.
Exactly. I feel like if you don't maintain your friendship outside of those moments that you ask them for help or you ask them to like do certain things with you, that's when it becomes problematic. You know, a lot of my friends, I can do different things with them, but because I maintain my friendships with them outside of those activities, it's like not much of an issue.
That's true. So maybe we can get into the story of how we met. So I'll let you give your perspective. You know, you're the guest or whatever. And then what made you actually want to pursue the friendship?
Let me paint the picture for everyone, because I don't think we've like ever actually like talked about this together. So I'm really interested to hear like your perspective versus my perspective. Okay, so it's summer 2021, which sounds crazy to me. I can't believe it's been 2 years. Summer 2021, I am moving back to Ottawa after living here for 2 years between 2015 and 2019 for school. And I will talk a little bit about community later on, but I moved back not really knowing anyone in the city. I really wanted to make some friends. Like, I didn't really know anybody here. The people that I had met during school had either moved back home or we were just no longer connected. And so I didn't have a community. And I discovered Bumble BFF, and it really piqued my interest because I never heard of anyone making friends on an app online, like dating, but for friendships. I decided to explore it because I was a little desperate, I'm not gonna lie, to make friends. As an introvert, it's like really hard to make friends when you don't go out as much, right? And when you don't already have a solid sort of like community of people around you. And so anyways, I scrolling on the app one day, and because Bumble Friends, like the portfolios of the profiles are much like dating profiles, I, you know, was kind of looking at profiles and I stumbled across Jada's profile, and I have like the worst memory, so I don't remember exactly what was on your profile, but I do remember some things that like striked me. And the first one was probably something about being introverted and probably like music interests. After like talking to you, I feel like we just had like a vibe going on. I feel like I'm really big on just like energy, and I feel like you just gave off a very calm aura, and I really loved that. We also just had a lot in common. We are both Jamaican. Ottawa has a very large like African community. You don't stumble upon a lot of Caribbean people. So I felt like I had found a gem. Yeah, we had really, really good conversation. It wasn't awkward, I felt like, through the app. And I think we had like, exchanged numbers or social media or something at that point. And yeah, I thought you were cool.
Like, I feel like as we become friends more, I'm like, oh, we have like a lot in common and like personalities and just vibes. We're both more quiet people. We have like an outgoing side, but like it takes a while to get along.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, something that was a pretty big deal when we met was that 5 minutes in, you shared something really, I'm not going to tell the world, but you did share something that was like really personal to you. And this was the first time we were meeting. You gave me like an in into your life and trusted me with the information that you shared with me very early on. And I don't know, maybe you can share a little bit about like why you felt comfortable doing that with me, because now knowing you, that does not seem like something that you would do with just anyone. I felt like you felt very comfortable with me, which also made me feel very comfortable with you initially. And yeah. So why did you feel comfortable enough to share that information with me, Jada?
Like you said, like I'm a very closed off person, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Even people who I've gone to school with, who I talk to now, will say, like, oh, I'm only just getting to know your proper self. But I don't know. I feel like I just kind of felt like you were just more so non-judgmentally. Like you just have a calm personality. You don't seem like you're like super opinionated,
mm-hmm.
you know? So you'd just be someone who could be objective about a situation, but also give you their perspective. You
mm-hmm.
know? You just seem like a genuine person because you're not like, you know, you don't do too much. Like sometimes you meet people and you can tell their character or how they're acting. It's not really them.
Thank you so much. Like that meant a lot to me. And I definitely like feel the same about you as well. When I like meet someone, I am super observant. And I feel like we're both very similar in that way as well. Just a very, very, very observant person, and also like very just weary about the people that I open up to, and also like allowed to see like different sides of me. Even just like 10 minutes into our conversation, like we were exchanging just like very personal things about our lives. And I felt like you too made me feel very comfortable enough to do that. You had a very calm aura, also very non-judgmental, just like spirit about you. And that meeting really planted the seed for our friendship today. And I felt like I knew at that moment that like we continued to be like really good friends. And I feel like that day I also exchanged some information with you too, where I feel like I'm like telling the people and making the people feel like this was like some top secret yeah. stuff that we shared with each other. But it was definitely stuff that you probably wouldn't necessarily share with someone the first time you met them. Yeah. So it was a pretty big deal.
Yeah. So this episode's going live on the 15th of November, and I released my first episode on November 13th. But because it's been 1 year of me podcasting, before you even listen to this episode, you already know you're going to enjoy it. You already know there's going to be good tea. There's going to be good jokes. You know what you can expect with me. So why don't you just go ahead and leave me a review? And while you're at it, even give 5 stars, because anything less would be a lie. Okay? So yeah, congrats on 1 year of Sincerely Jada. Thank you to everyone who's been supporting me on my journey. Thank you to all the guests who have been on this podcast by force or by volunteering. I appreciate your time. And let's get into the episode. So of course, you mentioned that we met on Bumble BFF. When I bring people around my friends and then they're like, oh, how do you know this person? And I'm like, Bumble BFF, they give me a weird look. We could delve deeper into that and kind of talk about our experience on Bumble BFF for those people who are like, what were you doing on there? What was your experience?
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with what you just said. I've made like a considerable amount of Bumble BFF friends, and like I always feel so awkward introducing them to people and answering the question, how did you meet? Like it is so awkward telling someone, oh, like we met on Bumble BFF. One, because a lot of people don't know that you can do that on the platform. And two, it's just like, were you desperate? Like, why were you on an app like looking for friends? But overall, I genuinely feel like Bumble BFF has been such a blessing in my life. This sounds so dramatic, but it really has, because moving here to Ottawa, like I mentioned earlier, didn't really have any friends. And I met some really amazing people on the app. Of course, like I went on friend dates and like not everyone stuck. But the people that did, you know, stick around, and our friendship has blossomed. And I'm like really, really grateful for all of our friendships. And it's been a really great experience. Like I can call a lot of these women that I met my really, really, really good friends to this day. And I genuinely feel if you are looking for friends, give Bumble BFF a shot. I know it might feel weird, sound weird initially. It's kind of like dating. Like you actually have to put the work in. You have to get to know people. Some people you might mix with. Some people might not be compatible for you. If you aren't the type of person that is ready to like, you know, intentionally make friends, I feel like it's not going to be a good outcome for you, because it's not like high school or like university where, you know, you have the shared experience with people. It's very much a new, fresh adult friendship where you have to, you know, schedule time with people, meet up with people and have new experiences with them and get to know them.
I think that's really true. Talking about our experience, so we were both in a similar boat, but you went to school here before you moved here. But you know, neither of us having much of a community. What was that whole experience when you moved and you realized all my uni friends left? I'm actually here by myself.
Yeah. So interestingly, I moved here when I went to school with friends from back home that I already knew. So if I'm honest, when I came here for school and like did my 4 years, I didn't put my best effort into making friends, because I was like, oh, like I have friends already, you know? And so I did make a couple of friends during uni. But of course, the people that I did meet, they went back to their hometowns. We just like were no longer connected. And so once I moved back to Ottawa a couple years later, I didn't really know anyone in the city, which was a really, really sucky feeling. Thankfully, like it wasn't a new city, so I was familiar with it. But it felt like a new city because it wasn't how I had left it, like having friends. And so it just felt really lonely. Like at the time I lived downtown on Elgin Street, and I remember on Friday night, I would literally hear people on Elgin Street at the bars having fun with their friends. And I think like those were the nights I felt the most lonely. I didn't have not one friend to go out to eat with. And that like really, really sucked. And I think maybe you can call it desperate. Maybe you can call it resourceful. I don't know. But that's also what pushed me to like use a platform like Bumble BFF, because I'm not sure if a couple years ago I would have done something like that.
Well, we love the boldness because it brought you me.
Yeah, exactly.
I relate to you in a lot of ways because in university, I didn't put a lot of effort into making friends because I feel like naturally, I don't really know where to go. And like, I'm a shy person. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I would meet people. It would be good vibes. But I think my problem is having the boldness and confidence to like follow up with people and be like, okay, our initial conversation was good. Do you want to go out? That was kind of my experience. So it was just a matter of feeling lonely, especially because I was seeing on social media that like all of my high school friends or university friends, they were in the same city still. So they were all hanging out. And I was like, oh, well, they are a squad and I'm no longer a part of that squad. So I need a new squad. But adulting and like realizing that your high school friends and your college friends, at some point you have to replace them and like actually put in work to meeting people where you actually live.
Yeah, no, definitely. And a big part of like meeting people and making friends is leaving your house. You do have to leave your house, go and out and do activities in order to like meet people. And that was something that I was terrified to do by myself when I moved here. Ottawa, although I lived here, it did feel like a brand new city again because I was experiencing it in a different way. I was no longer a college student. It was like very terrifying for me to like do those sorts of things, which is why I kind of like relied on like Bumble BFF to like make friends. I feel like it made me feel comfortable enough to explore different friendships.
Yeah. In terms of friendships in general, so when you're making friends, I mean, both of us identified that we're not the social type of people, but how do you gauge whether a friendship is a safe place for you?
Honestly, as I mentioned earlier, I'm a super duper observant person. I feel like I am also really just big on how I feel around a person. Like when I'm with someone, like how do they make me feel? Do I feel anxious? Do I feel overwhelmed? Do I feel at peace? Do I feel calm? Do I feel safe? And that's really how like I gauge whether or not like I feel like I can open up to someone and maybe establish a friendship from there. That's really the reason why we became friends in the first place. And we met up after our first meeting. It's because I feel like we felt safe with one another. You didn't make me feel like scared or anything like that. Like I felt very much safe and at peace when I was around you. And I think that's what I look for. How does this person make me feel when I'm around them? And I'm also like observing the person's like personality. I feel like I have a very calm personality. And I feel like my personality doesn't mix very well with like very bold personality. That's also like what I'm observing too. Like, are personalities going to gel? Are we going to be compatible? I feel like I can be around someone for like a good like 10 minutes and know whether or not we're going to be able to like be friends or not. And so those are some of the things that I'm looking for.
Me, I'm more of a person who's like a listener type. You know,
mm-hmm.
Unless I feel really comfortable, I don't really talk too much. I more so just listen to what someone's saying and then I give my input, but I don't really share too much. So I was looking to make friends with more so people who are similar to me because I feel like I constantly sometimes find myself in a state where I'm the emotional support friend.
Yeah.
And I said no more.
Yeah. And also to add to that list, I also try to observe like a person's lifestyle. Feel like first meeting, you're able to kind of get a grasp of, you know, how a person lives, what they have going on in their life. And in our 20s, everybody's in like different stages of their lives. Some people are going back to school. Some people are getting married. Some people having babies. Some people are like getting engaged, buying houses. Everybody's in just like a different point of their life in their 20s. But for me, it's just like, are we on the same like wavelength in terms of like the things that we like to do, our values, our morals, our priorities in life? I think those are really, really important things for me. Like if we do not share similar like values and just like those foundational things like morals, that sort of thing, I just don't think that our friendship would flourish.
That's me too. The overall theme of the episode is friendships as a whole, because it can be really difficult, especially as an awkward girly. Navigating friendships, there's all of these rules a lot of people are not aware of. So for this portion of the episode, this is the segment that I'll call Unwritten Friendship Rules. Basically, we'll discuss the do's and don'ts of friendship. So I'll read the unspoken friendship rule first, and then you'll tell me what you think, like if you think this is basically the standard. And then I'll give you a scenario based on that rule. See if you change your mind, because sometimes we think things are black and white, but we'll see if they are.
But
if your friend and their partner break up, as a friend, you should cut them off, even if you have your own friendship with them and you were friends with them before. What are your thoughts, girl?
Okay, this one can be very sticky, I feel like. Okay, so if I have two friends and, you know, they're together and I was friends with one person first, I feel like there is a world where I could still be friends with both people. What happened in their situation? You know, did they just kind of like end amicably? Or did somebody cheat on someone? Did somebody do something very disrespectful? That sort of thing. I feel like in a world where like that sort of was the case, I could remain friends with those two people. I also think that like if that were the case, it'd be very important to like respect boundaries. I don't know, I wouldn't post up on like social media and be flaunting both of them, you know, and like I wouldn't necessarily like invite them to the same places. But I definitely feel like if nothing crazy happened, I can definitely remain friends with like both people.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that you specified, of course, if it was like a serious situation, you know, you're lying, you're cheating, you're doing all this crazy stuff, you might be more likely to take a side. I can understand that, because if you have two separate friendships, you know, with the people, you don't want to sacrifice one. But that's easier said than done, I feel like, because then you have to organize like separate hangouts. It's kind of shady, but I like that you said that you wouldn't post them on social media, because I think that's what people do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I wouldn't really know if you guys are hanging out or inviting them to the games night and I'm not invited.
Yeah, we're grown. So at the end of the day, like if they did end amicably and I am hosting something at my house, someone can decide to not come. And like, that's okay. I would hope that like the other person would respect that my friendship with that other person is also just as important as my friendship with them, given that, you know, nothing crazy happened in the relationship.
Yeah. So this scenario, which I got from Reddit, is titled, "Is it selfish of me not to go to my friend's birthday party because my ex will be there?" T.
Ooh.
So the person said that they're really confused because it's a fresh breakup of a bit over a month. Mm. The breakup really broke them. He told me he loved me and could see himself being with me for a really long time. And then he proceeded to call me ugly to my face.
What?
The audacity, cheat on me. And dumped me not even a week later. Wild.
That is insane.
I moved out and they haven't spoken since. The problem is we both moved wherever they moved to go to university, and they met through mutual friends. He's closer to them than she is. They all bonded over the speaking the same language. She only still talks to two of the people in that group, as those were the people she was close to. Her friend Mina invited them for a get together on her birthday. They're pretty close. She warned the girl who's in the situation that her ex will be there. She never told her friends what he did to avoid drama, as he is, you know, their primary friend. But she really doesn't want to go. She's seen him around campus, and every time she does, she gets so upset and feels horrible. She says she literally had to go to therapy about this. And she's asking if at the same time it's immature to not go to the small party just because the ex will be there. She's feeling like she's acting like she's in high school, and she feels really selfish, but the thought of being in the same room as him makes her really upset. She feels like the friend, Mina, who's having the party, wouldn't take it easily if she said she can't come, especially because she didn't tell them what was wrong. So, you know, they don't have a reason to be super upset at the guy. So she's asking if it's okay. And based on that rule, so as we said, you know, it's okay to still be friends. And you shouldn't have to cut them off. But based on that scenario, first off, what do you think about it? And does this change your mind at all?
I can definitely understand where the writer is coming from, because especially if the friendship is, or if the breakup is new or fresh, I could imagine like how awkward it is to have to be in a room or like near this person that did that to you. I definitely do not think that it's like immature to not want to be in a space with someone that you previously had like a relationship with, and then like they treated you poorly and not wanting to be in like a space with them. Mina already gave her sort of like a warning that her boyfriend was going to be there. And I feel like that's already sort of prompting the idea that she might be a little bit understanding. So I feel like even though she didn't express to her friends like the details of their breakup, I feel like if Mina is a girl's girl And if Mina is very understanding, I feel like she'd be okay with her not attending. But then that also leads to another issue. Will her ex be there every year? Again, if it's fresh and like Mina's birthday just happened to be like the month following, then I feel like she would totally understand. But I think that if they share a friendship group, this isn't the first and last time that they're going to have to be in a room together. So it's either she gets some new friends or she, you know, sits out of this particular celebration or she faces it.
I would never date somebody who we shared a friendship group originally.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's
one. Can get messy.
It's messy. Because even after, if you think about it, I feel like people can heal from breakups. Maybe 3 years now, she'll be dating a new guy. She'll feel better. But I think it's perfectly normal to still not want to see that person. Me personally, I think I would never, it would never become a point where I'm actually seeing your face and I'm like, oh, this is fine. I think it's tricky because I think she already showed that she's mature because it's like she never went to the friends to tell them all of that, which shows that she wasn't trying to, like, you know, influence everybody to turn against him. It's kind of tough too because if they don't know, they're going to be probably be thinking the breakup was no big deal. He obviously, if they ask him, he's going to be like, oh, we weren't seeing eye to eye. Like, he's not going to mention that he literally cheated on her. So I feel like if someone genuinely hurt you and those are your friends, they don't need to take a side, but I feel like they should be aware of it so that they're more sensitive to you because realistically, they're closer to him, but she's going through a breakup and she was cheated on. So if I was in that position, I might be closer to him, but I'm probably going to rally around her for a period of time because I know she's struggling, you know? Even if I'm not as close to her, I feel like she was wronged, not him. So he can do being left out for a bit, but it might be more difficult for her because she's already going through a hard time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like in this situation, it's going to be really difficult for her to, like, suffer silently and, like, not share with her friends the details of what happened because, as you mentioned, he did do something to her that, like, will probably live with her for the rest of her life. He said some nasty things to her. And so I feel like because, like, the extent of what happened is, like, so severe that I feel like she needs to give her friends an opportunity to empathize for her and to be a little bit more understanding because I feel like they're not going to be able to understand her perspective if she doesn't share, like, the details of what happened.
That's true. I'm not, like, trying to portray myself as a perfect friend, but I feel like if I was Mina and I heard all of that, I feel like it's reasonable to cut your friend off. Like, you don't have to take a side in that situation. But, like, even if he didn't want to be with her, it sounded like he literally intentionally broke her down. I think sometimes, like, people can be amazing friends, but they can be awful partners or
awful people.
Awful people.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be that person saying, oh, but they're such a good friend to me, because it's just like, well, if he continues to do this to other girls and he treats them very bad and he's rude to them, he might be a good friend to you now.
Very true.
And it's just like, if you see him doing all this to other women, but yeah, if a guy did that to you, you would have a different opinion of him. So it's like, why are you still treating him as like a golden boy?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I 100% agree. Mina girl, if you're listening to this, tell your girls what that man did to you, because I feel like they need to know. Like, you kind of like shifted my perspective and, like, you know, whether or not she should tell them, I 100% think that she should share that with them because they should know that that side of their friend exists. And, you know, who knows, maybe he's doing it to, like, other people behind closed doors and, like, nobody felt comfortable enough to share because face value, he seems like a very nice guy. But maybe, like, low key, he isn't. So out him, girl.
Out him. Tell him everything. Yeah. You could make a decision from there, but.
Exactly.
So the first one's pretty straightforward, but the second one, I think, and the third one is a little bit more, you know, hard to gauge. So the second one is, if your friend is upset about something that they're going through, no matter what it is, you should always reassure them, even if it means not saying what's truly on your mind.
So for one thing I've learned over, like, the last few years is that just because somebody shares something with you, they don't always, like, want to hear, like, your side of things. They don't always need advice or share or, like, need to hear your perspective. So when friends do approach me with stuff, like, I really try my hardest to, like, you know, either feel out the vibe, see if they are, you know, seeking advice from me, or simply just, like, ask them, like, do you want to hear my opinion? Do you? Because I'm going to give you the real, real. I'm going to give you the real, real. I'm always going to be honest with my friends. I think it's just all about approach. It's how you approach what you say and, like, your perspective and your sense of honesty. If you're my really good friend, I don't want you out here in these streets looking crazy. doing crazy things out of just like, I care about you and your like livelihood and your sense of well-being. And so I am going to be honest with you whether or not I feel like you want to hear what I have to say or not. But again, I think it's really important to ask because not everybody is always ready to receive things like that, right? Like I would definitely approach the situation with, you know, empathizing with what they're going through, you know, acknowledging their emotions, their feelings, their perspectives, but then also being a really real friend and giving them like the real tea and being honest with them. You know, if they're wrong about something, like I'm going to tell them. So if you're not being honest with your friends, you should.
That's true. I feel like in the moment though, you might not agree, but maybe you'll just reassure them. You know, an example, sometimes they're venting about some situation that honestly, you want to say everything's going to be all right.
Yeah.
But it seems like things are going a bit astray. But naturally, I might say, oh, you know, that sounds tough. Probably not like that. That sounds very unsympathetic. But like, you'll reassure them. And then you'll be like, oh, but you know, you have really put yourself in this situation, girl. But it's kind of tricky too, because on the other side of that, it's like sometimes your friend wants reassurance, but you can't reassure them. Like, for example, let's say your girl or whatever thinks that her man is cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And you maybe think that he is as well, but she's saying, oh no, he's not doing it. Naturally, you wouldn't want to be like, no, I think he actually is, you know, with her right now. Actually, you better call him up. They're together. But like, that's honestly what I think. So it's like, should I reassure you and say, no, he loves you, girl. Not everybody is always ready for the truth, but it's like sometimes you reassure someone and it's not genuinely what you think, but you have to provide that reassurance because they're in the moment, they're upset.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that like that was a great example because that's also an example of where like sometimes you just have to let your friends figure out things on their own. And like that in particular is an example of like, you know, maybe one time you insert your opinion. If they want to hear it, just one time. Like sometimes you just do it one time, but after that one time, like sometimes you really just have to let your friend figure out things for themselves. And if they keep coming back to you, like maybe they just need like a listening ear. They don't necessarily need your opinion. But that's an example of where I would definitely try to like, you know, provide some sort of like emotional support, but not necessarily like share my opinions. I'm going to have to like let them like handle that one on their own.
And sometimes you can't always offer reassurance. Like you can offer emotional support and say, oh, I'm gonna be here for you and stuff, but you can't be like, oh, don't worry, like he's gonna choose you and all this stuff, because it's just like at some point, especially girls, like we try to hype each other up. If he's like, you know, liking this girl's Instagram story, I'm gonna be like, oh no, you know, you look better than her, you don't have to worry about her, maybe, because I know that's gonna make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
But is that always the best thing to do? No, because sometimes what makes you feel better is actually a lie. But also sometimes you have to lie to your friend when they're, at least when they're upset, when they come down. Because me, I'm the type of person to be like, when someone comes to me specifically based on that, like a partner thing, mm-hmm. and I've peeped some behavior, I'm like, honestly, like, you know, what does your gut say? But me personally, I think that he's up to something. That's just what I think.
No.
In those situations, like I'll give objective opinions, but it's like, do you hear yourself? You said he left late at night. He was gone for a few days. He didn't respond.
All the red flags.
You know, I'm like, I'm trying to be reassuring, but you're not giving me much to work with.
Honestly, I think that's being a good friend, though. It's like you are trying to help them, you're trying to like lead them to like a solution and forming their own opinions rather than like inserting your own opinions. You know, you're also like, especially in that relationship example, like sometimes you're like in the weeds, like your head is cloudy when you are loving on someone, and sometimes like you need someone to bring you back to earth. And that would be a really good example, like that approach, I think, like walking someone back to earth with those examples, I think would be like being a good friend. And also something else that you mentioned that was interesting was like timing. Like, like if a friend comes to me and they're like bawling their eyes out because I don't know, like their partner did something, or like, I don't know, they got fired from their job or something like that, and I have my own personal reservations about like their situation, now is probably not the time to share those opinions. Maybe we'll save it for later. And maybe in that moment, all they need is reassurance. Like sometimes there are moments where all someone needs is reassurance and not your opinion. And I think part of being a good friend is recognizing that.
That's true. So the scenario, I have this close friend with whom I work at the moment and see often. Both of us have friends in common. I've noticed that when I hang out with her and talk about personal stuff, she doesn't seem interested or serious about them. For example, I told her yesterday that this guy I'm close to, guy she likes, seems to be drifting away and falling out of love. All she did was a cringy expression. She said, "That sucks."
No.
And continued looking at the stores around us. And she changed subjects. I also previously told her I was worried about certain girls regarding him. And every time I did, she would pull the same face and call the other girls pretty.
Not to say
that they aren't, but I would think most girls don't want to hear that at the moment. And that only makes me feel worse. She says, "I think the girl was at a party yesterday with him too." Her? "That sucks." Me? "I guess I'm just worried a bit." Her? "Do you have a photo?" Me? "Shows photo." Her? "She's gorgeous," with an exclamation point. So she brought it up to her before. She said she was, of course, interested in my life, but that she didn't want to give unsolicited advice anymore, and that she didn't mean to make me feel insecure. She also, unrelated, but maybe related, she admitted a long time ago to me that she used to have a crush on the guy, but it fizzled out quickly and he was never really interested, nor does he even know. I also knew him before she did, and we were already talking. So I would have assumed she moved on and there's no issues, but now I'm wondering if she's acting that way because she's putting her insecurities on me.
I feel like this goes back to like something I brought up like earlier in the episode, and that's like how someone makes you feel when you're with them. This person isn't listening to her and she doesn't make her feel heard. She doesn't make her feel like someone that she could confide in, and overall just like doesn't make her feel good. And so I feel like that's really something that she should observe, like even more. Maybe you don't eat this friend, girl. Like maybe this isn't someone that's like, she doesn't care about your life. She's not interested in hearing like, about your life. And I feel like this is someone that like you should just drop.
Play devil's advocate. Although I do not advocate for the devil, because sometimes people complain about things like this. And even I've been the friend where if I'm upset about something previously in the past, I'll constantly talk about it. Mm. And I'm not cognizant that it's a bit much. And I wouldn't want to hear this, first of all. She's gorgeous.
Mm.
She might be beautiful. You don't need to tell me that. But she seems like she's hyper-fixated maybe on the girls that he's talking to. Like maybe she says negative things about them. So the girl could be a girl's girl or just be like, "Oh, like, I'm not sure why you're even on her page or why you're looking at her. Like, she's gorgeous. You shouldn't be worried about her. Be worried about him." The situation sounds like maybe the guy's losing interest in you spending time with other girls. I mean, that sucks is crazy, though. That's very bad.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I don't know what to say because he's not giving you the energy that you want. But it seems like you want me to reassure you and tell you everything's fine. You're better than those girls. It'd be nice if she could hype her up. But some people are like, "I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear or tell you, just hype you up, basically, because he could actually be interested in those girls. So who am I to be like, oh, no, you're better than them?"
Yeah. I mean, that is very true. That could be very well the situation. And if that is the case, I feel like it's just a topic that they should just omit. Like, maybe you just don't talk about this with each other because there's some, like, history there. And I feel like that just respects, like, both people. Of course, like, once you have, like, really good friends, you want to share your lives with them. If the girl feels like it's, like, nagging at this point, like, this is something that she's constantly hearing or just, like, doesn't agree with some of the perspectives that the girl has, and you know, in the past I think you mentioned that she had some history, she liked this guy, like who wants to like hear about that all the time, right? So I feel like maybe they should just like omit this topic, like don't talk about it, like once they get together, like talk about something else. There's so much other things that they could possibly talk about.
She just seems like maybe she's just a blunt girl.
Yeah.
And that's actually, I appreciate someone who's like, "Oh, that sucks, like it's annoying," but rather than filling up my mind with all of this foolishness.
Exactly.
It's better for you. Maybe she's just saying that because what she really wants to say is rude.
If this isn't like the first like occurrence of you feeling like, or her feeling like this around like her friend, like feeling like her friend's not listening to her, is very short with her, maybe they should like reevaluate their friendship. That's what it's sounding like to me, because you obviously don't want to be friends with someone that you feel like could care less about like what you're saying to them, you know?
The last one that I have, kind of a more tricky one. So if you build a friendship as a group, meaning you all meet at the same time, you all start to get together as a group, it's shady to hang out separately without at least extending an invite to each to see if they're interested or available. Thoughts?
Yeah, so this is actually a very interesting scenario because this has actually happened to me. So I had a friend like during like uni, and you know, we were very close, and I had established a friendship with someone new. And during uni, you know, we're broke college students. When you hang out with friends, you're trying to bring everyone together. And so that I did. I noticed that they were having like gatherings without me. I, you know, maybe they hit it off. Maybe they like found each other just like super intriguing. Not sure. I noticed shortly after their first meeting that they were hanging out together, doing activities together. This was like bothersome for me because never received an invite to any of these things. It was kind of like it was done like not sneakily, but like I do find it kind of odd if you introduce someone to someone and, you know, those two people start hanging out without you, because I find it kind of rude.
I'm the reason you guys know each other.
Exactly. Like I find it kind of rude, and I also just like don't understand like why you wouldn't want to invite that particular person in this scenario where like you're already an established sort of like friend group and you start hanging like outside of that friend group with people. I feel like if you have like a group chat and people are making plans in the group chat together and like some people just can't make it, then I feel like that's like completely acceptable because at least you're not doing it behind each other's back. It feels a little sneaky when like you go behind like a group of friends back and then hang out with people within that group without notifying the group. I don't know. That's just how I feel.
No, I get that. I get that for sure. And that is shady when you introduce people. I get if you hit it off and you have outside interests, but it seems like you guys are building your own friendship. And now I'm the one who's on the outskirts when I was literally the one who introduced you. You think you could maybe invite me to the plan? With this scenario, I've been on the outskirts one too many times, girl. But I'm not going to say it in a shady way, but I was a member of a friend group in high school, and all of the people in the group shared one particular interest that they used to do, and I didn't do it. So there was a semi-formal or like an event that I just assumed that we would all go together. I don't know, maybe I was delusional. But then I found out that they had plans, the three of them. Just I'll preface that we resolved the issue and it wasn't a big deal, but they had plans, the three of them, to go. And then I was saying that, you know, my mom had offered to drop all of us, and they were like, oh, well, you know, we're actually going here. And I was like, okay.
Oh, no.
And like that, I literally was so emotional off of that situation, because I think that from their perspective, obviously, they were like, we all do this certain thing. We're all going to be doing this thing before. You're not interested. So why would we invite you? Because then obviously, well, you still feel left out. It would make sense for you to arrive separately. And then we do what we're doing, because then we don't have to feel weird and you don't have to feel weird. So I understood that perspective. But here was my perspective. To me, that didn't justify me being left out when it's four of us, three of you are going to be going, and me, I'm going to arrive by myself. In high school, I had a lot of friends my last 2 years, but all of my friends were in different groups. So I wouldn't have felt comfortable enough to go with another group, because I was usually friends from one individual from that group and one from there. So I'm not going to go with their group of friends because I don't really know them like that.
Yeah.
So I just felt like they knew that. So to me, I took it as the biggest violation, and I cried. But, you know, at this point, that's why I'm more selective about meeting people who are similar to me. Because I feel like before I was open-minded, and I still am. But I feel like when you're so open-minded to the point that you befriend your opposites, you're always going to be left out in some way or another, because their friend groups are probably more like them. So when it's time to do certain things, they're going to choose them and leave you to the side. That was my experience with that. So for me, it is somewhat shady. I had separate friendships with everyone in the group, and I feel like that's fine. But I think it becomes shady when, let's say there's a group of three. There's Taylor, Maya, and I don't know. Give me a third name. Taylor, Maya, and
Sasha.
Taylor and Sasha always hang out, the two of them. But when Maya sees them, it's always together. So there's two people who hang out, just the two of them. And then I never have well, not I, Maya never has one-on-one time with either of them. I feel like that's shady because you two clearly see a benefit in nurturing your individual relationship, mm-hmm. but nobody ever wants to be one-on-one with the last person. So I feel like naturally what happens in that case is two people become closer.
Mm-hmm.
And those friendship groups of three, avoid them.
Oh, girl, I've been there.
Well, I had four and it still was not a good experience. You find that two of them are always hanging out and it's just like, how come nobody sees value in hanging out with me one-on-one?
Yeah.
That's when I feel like it's very shady.
Yeah, no, I can completely like understand that, especially like that scenario that you just laid out, because for a very long time, like I had a trio and I feel like it all comes down to like awareness when it like in those types of group friendship settings, like, especially like your situation. Had they extended an invite to you and like allowed you the opportunity to decide whether or not you wanted to attend, it wouldn't have been a problem, right? Because you wouldn't have felt excluded. But because they had went behind your back and kind of just like sneakily did what they did, just assuming that you wouldn't be interested, that's what led to the issue, right?
Exactly. What bothers people in this case and what bothered me is when you're not really given the opportunity to decline an invitation, you're just not invited. Because then it makes it seem like you didn't really even think about ways in which you could have accommodated me so that I could attend as well. And it's not that the world revolves around me or one specific person where the whole plan should be changed just to suit you, but it's also just like, at the end of the day, we are a group of friends. And I think that when you make friends as a group, or you automatically form a group of people and you guys gel together and you know that the majority of the time you hang out with the group, you should make an extra effort to make sure that no member of the group feels like they're not valued, because then that just creates an unhealthy or just an unfair dynamic in the group where it's like, I know if this particular person was not able to make it, we would have canceled the plans or we would have rescheduled. But because it's me, everybody's like, oh yeah, you can't make it, we're going to do it anyway. But if it was the next person, you would have taken that into consideration and you would have planned according to that person's schedule or tried to at least accommodate it so that they could attend. It just kind of feels like when there's one specific person or there's two people who is constantly left out, it's like, why are we a group then? Because it seems like you're more focused on fostering those individual relationships. And to be fair, you might like that person more, you might get along better. But at the end of the day, we all decided that we were going to form this group and you guys don't really make an effort to ensure that I can be included too. It's just like, okay, if you can come, you can come. But if you can't come, it's not going to change anything. Why would I still want to be a part of this group then? Yes, the world doesn't revolve around one particular person, but I feel like if you had one friend that was allergic to something, right? Or maybe they just didn't eat meat. When you're looking to find a restaurant, you wouldn't choose one that didn't have a vegetarian menu. Like, you would go out of your way to find something that that person could enjoy so that they could attend as well if you truly valued that person. So applying that same kind of analogy to other situations, it's like, yeah, you know, naturally sometimes you're going to hang out individually. It might be three members of the group. It might be a few members of the group. But I feel like if you know that all members of the group would be interested in doing that particular thing, they want to check out that restaurant or they want to go to that event, and you just choose not to extend an invite, it kind of makes it seem as though you don't really want that person around and that you don't really value them as much as you might value other members of the group. Naturally, especially when you have a bigger group, it's probably not going to work. Like, if you have a group of like eight people, naturally there's going to be times where, you know, you can't organize eight people's schedules to match up perfectly. And I get that. But I feel like smaller groups, three, four people, how are you telling me that you couldn't really go the extra mile or at least try to accommodate and make it so that everybody could go and everybody could be comfortable with whatever the planned activity or event is?
And I feel like it's really important, especially in a trio, to like not just do things sneakily, two people, because two people, as you mentioned, will become closer and eventually like leave the last person out.
At the same time, like, you don't have ownership over people. So I can understand some people are like, why do I have to tell you everything I'm doing? We're a group. We met as a group. We always do things as a group. And then you're not extending the invite. And why is it the secret?
Sometimes exactly.
You talk to them that day and they're just like, oh, I'm chilling. And then you see a Snapchat of them at Wonderland.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, why didn't you tell me you guys were going?
Exactly. At that point, it just feels personal. And then you like start looking at people just like, are you even my friend? Because a simple invitation in like those situations, or a simple like, Hey, would you be interested in this? Could go such a long way. And like sometimes people don't realize this, but communication can evade so many issues in like friendships.
Yeah, it's the communication. This situation, I don't know, this one hit me personally. Mm-hmm. So I have a pretty okay sized friend group. So one will be married in August and I've received my invites to his wedding. Yesterday, I saw that 3 of the 6 of the group were heading to another state around 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. by posting it on Snapchat. See, they always post everything.
Always the socials that get people in trouble.
Yeah. I was like, oh, weird. They must be going to a concert or something. If only. Turns out every single one of them went on a trip for the groom. All were invited except for me. I was told by one a month or so ago that my friend's groomsmen were just going to be his family.
Oh, they lied.
Why would they lie? Another friend told me this trip was for groomsmen only. So one friend said that the groomsmen were just going to be his brothers or someone. And then another friend exposed the lie and said that the trip was for groomsmen only. So you guys are groomsmen. Another told me one was not a groomsman and was just invited. Why can't they get their story straight? So it's not a groomsman trip. There were actually other people invited. I would have thought with being insanely close with the groom since high school, I too would at least be invited. Yet I was the only friend in the entire group that was left out. For context, there was no prior issues or problems we've ever had. It was very random. I don't want to confront the groom as I see no reason to try and cause issues before his wedding. I'm not mad or angry, just extremely sad and disappointed. Being left out is never a good feeling. No, it's not. Especially when it's from people who you've cared for 10 plus years.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I just feel like all in all, why would they not want me there? The last sentence is so sad.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no, that really stung a little bit.
Yeah.
This one is like really tricky. Because I, too, have, like, a lot of, like, childhood friends whom, you know, some I'm still very close with. Some, like, I'm not as close with as, like, I used to be. And so I can kind of put myself in his sort of predicament a little bit because a lot of, like, the childhood friends that I have were all sort of, like, friends in a way. Maybe the reality of the situation is just that he didn't feel like his friendship with him was that strong enough to invite him. It does feel very hurtful though, because it sounds like there was like a brotherhood going on there, like a very strong sort of like friend group. But that's the reality of like what it is like when you become like an adult, like, you know, your friendships with all of like your different friends, they fade. And whether or not like you have mutual friends or not, it's not like a given that you'll be invited. Really sad to come to terms with that, but that's just like what it is.
The reason I disagree is because when planning a wedding, I feel like obviously you can't do things to just please others.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's so incredibly shady. I don't know. I feel like the biggest shade is the hiding, though, because this was
mm-hmm.
a trip.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them lied to him directly and told him, oh, it was just going to be the groomsmen or his family. So you didn't know you were groomsmen 1 month ago?
They were trying not to hurt us. Really.
Liar.
It was a lie. But they were probably trying not to hurt his feelings.
Yeah, but I feel like that's so mean, though, because as adults, we oftentimes talk about how we always fade out with our friends and how it's just natural because you're getting older and you might not be as close to one person, or you might essentially just kind of lose common interests or common goals with that person and naturally you're not going to be as close. But I think in a lot of cases, we are actually the reason why those friendships are fading out. Like in this case, he obviously valued the person enough to have them at the wedding. He valued them enough to keep a 10-year friendship. But when it came to a really important moment in his life, there's only one person who's left out. There's only one person who is not really treated as a priority. It wouldn't really have been that much of a difficulty, in my opinion, to just add one more groomsman to not necessarily please people. Because at the end of the day, like weddings, all that stuff, I get it's about you. But there's people who have been in your life for those important moments. There's people who have supported your relationship and have really been community when you needed it. It's not like they're entitled to be involved, but you really do have to consider that it's your time also to show them their importance in your life and to show them that you value their presence. And I feel like when you don't do that, that is what pushes people away. You are a part of the group, but you're not an important part of the group. If you're gonna make every member of one group a bridesmaid except one person, or a groomsman except one person, like, I get you can make a case for, okay, if you have two close people or four close people from the group, but three people you're not close to, you shouldn't have to please them. But as a friend, it's like, you can't really blame those people for catching feelings if you're constantly putting them in a position where they have to feel left out, in my opinion. Like, the way they had to go behind his back to do it, that obviously means that you're not comfortable with your decision. Because if you felt like, you know what, I'm closer to these people, I feel comfortable in this decision, it's my wedding, you need to do it with your chest. Like, don't lie and go behind my back, because obviously you're doing that with a guilty conscience. You're knowing that this is not the right thing to do. So you should have just invited me, because if you felt it was justified, then why did you have to go about it in that way?
Yeah, no, I agree. I also just, like, firm believer in, like, there's always two sides to a story. You know, there could have been something along the way over the years that maybe he's done. I think it's really wrong on the groom's part to, like, not be transparent with him, especially if he values his friendship. But I also think this is just an opportunity, like, on the writer's side to see that this person does not value their friendship. And that's just, like, what it is, unfortunately. These are just some of the experiences that you have to prepare for. And I feel like one, like, big symbol of how important a friendship is to someone is, like, an invite to a wedding, and especially, like, playing a part in, like, somebody's wedding. So
he didn't make the cut.
He did not. So yeah.
That's so mean, though. That's so
mean. That was really mean. I feel really bad for him.
But I feel like, too, with social media, like, we tend to post everything. But I feel like if you're going to intentionally leave someone out, even if you have a reason,
yeah,
I do feel like it's a bit insensitive. I don't know. People might have different opinions because it's your own social media. No one can control you. But I feel like posting group pictures constantly, leaving out one specific person,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's so mean.
It is mean. It was very mean.
Yeah, especially if it's a larger group. Like, if you're in a group of three, I feel like that's not as big of a deal, because obviously two people are going to hang out. I feel like when you're a wider group and, like, you make these plans and nobody knows about them except the people invited, and you take a group picture.
Yeah.
You know, you might have one of those squad captions, but you might be like, oh, four or five, because that's what I used to do when I was in a group of
three. Oh, I love that.
I would be like, oh, two of three or something. But, like, maybe that's just because I was left out a lot, so I was sensitive to it.
Yeah. It could be the case that the groom, you know, is a lot closer to the individuals that he selected to be his groomsmen and not this particular individual. You know, maybe they've done this before. Maybe they have excluded him before, but, like, this time he's just finding out because it's a little bit more of a significant event. But yeah, it could be the case where, like, he's just not as close, or maybe over the years it's sort of, like, fizzled out, as you mentioned. But I definitely think there should have been, like, a conversation had if he respected him and, like, valued their friendship in the first place. So
in the situation, it did say there were a few people on the trip who weren't groomsmen.
Yeah, but they went about that very poorly.
For sure. So that kind of summarizes those unspoken friendship rules. Do you have any major ones that come to mind?
You selected some really, really, really interesting ones. I really enjoyed, like, having this conversation. I feel like, I mean, I don't do this much. So this was a lot of fun to, like, hear someone else's perspective, especially, like, a close friend's perspective. Thanks for having this conversation with me. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being on my podcast. Not to put you on the spot, because as we discussed, you're shy girly, but sometimes I ask people to end off with, like, a quote or, like, a general thought.
Ooh.
That they'd like to leave the audience with. I don't know what types of inspirational quotes you have, you know, on deck, but maybe you can share some of your wisdom with us.
I definitely think that, like, as an adult, I've heard other friends or other just, like, acquaintances and people I've come across talk about, you know, their challenges of, like, making friends as they enter, like, a new chapter of their life. And a lot of us, like, we often get discouraged because nothing, like, seems to be working. It's, like, hard to make friends, it's hard to keep friends. But I just want to, like, encourage anybody that's listening that is looking for new friends, it is possible, and there are like-minded people like you out there. Like, I came to Ottawa and I didn't think that I'd, like, make some new best friends, but I literally have in, like, the last few years, and that's been, like, the best part. So I do encourage you, if you haven't downloaded Bumble BFF, don't be scared. Do not be scared. Download it and, like, give it your best effort, and you might make some new friends and, like, build a new community.
Yeah, I mean, we've been friends for 2 years now, which seems really weird.
It does.
But I think we get comfortable too, especially when you live in your hometown. You might just feel tempted to connect with those friends, constantly text them all the time, FaceTime them, but full time you don't have any friends in your city.
Exactly.
Like, putting yourself out there and not necessarily just clinging to what's comfortable or what you already have.
Yeah, exactly. And then like there's this mentality I feel like out there sometimes that like, you know, I don't need friends, like, you know, I don't need anybody. But like in reality, we are humans and we need friends in this hard life. Like life is hard enough. Having those solid friendships and people that you can count on, rely on, it's really important.
Well, that's a great note to end on. So thank you again for joining me. We've reached the end of the episode and I'd like to remind you all to follow the podcast Instagram at SincerelyJadaPod. So there's a feedback form in the episode notes where you can actually leave me a comment. You can also recommend yourself if you'd like to be a guest or recommend a topic that you'd like to be discussed. So I really appreciate the support for the podcast. So I'd like to give you a reminder to head over to wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it be Apple Music or Spotify. And first of all, follow the podcast because that's the way that you will know I have a new episode out. So follow the podcast and also leave a review if you haven't already, preferably 5 stars. That will help with the visibility of the podcast. And also it makes me happy. And why would you not want me to be happy? Let me know what you think about the podcast. And as always, you can always find in the episode notes the link to the podcast Instagram. And also within our Linktree link, you can find the link to the Google form where I accept feedback. Thank you for listening. And I'd love to hear what you think about the podcast or if you have a specific opinion on any of the things that me and Imani discussed. Until next time, sincerely, Jada.